Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Work for me here to not only win a Super Bowl, I just want to win a playoff game. I want to be a part of some sort of special win here.
Sean, let's hit a call before we go to Ray Fittipaldo. Who you got?
We are going to head out to Baltimore with Kai.
Hi, Kai.
Hey, guys. I love the show. This is my first time calling. I love about the show? You guys are honest and you're being real. You're not just being blind homers. And you know what? Both you guys took the Ravens, and I think that's a good pick. I think T.J. Watt will get some help. I mean, we will have some help for T.J. Watt on that side. But you guys mentioned Zay Flowers being out. But I'm going to tell you, man, you can make up those yak yards with Likely and also with Justice Hill, who's coming back, who you guys have to watch out for. He's playing out his mind. Now, this game right here is so big for Lamar that I think the last time in the playoffs with those six carries to a running back, which was crazy with our coaching staff, I don't think that's going to happen. I think Henry is going to, you know, run 25 to 30 times this game, and they're going to run him like a brick wall. And I'm just hoping he run Patrick Queen over. Of course, you know about Patrick Queen in Baltimore, but that guy, you know, he had a good game. I ain't going to say a great game last time. He stripped Likely. So I'm hoping my team have better ball control, put two hands on that ball this game. I can't see how. If I look at this thing logically, not and take the fandom out, I can't see how the Steelers are going to score against us. And, I mean, with all the problems going on with the wide receiver, the diva, who we're going to put our rookie on him, Wiggins on him, get him out the game, talk smack to him and get him out the game.
Kai, you're breaking up on us here. Go ahead, Don.
Kai, the morning show had Vinny Serrato on, who is on the Fan out there in Baltimore, I think the same time as us right now. Would you agree with him? He told those guys that really from his own feeling and it seems like the feeling of the fan base, there aren't a whole lot of nervous people out there. They think this will be a convincing Ravens win.
Yes. Listen, I can speak for myself, and I love Vinny. This win... Pittsburgh is going to – the fans, this is how we shut the fans up because y'all fans, Pittsburgh fans travel. I give the fans as all. They're going to invade our stadium. But the thing is, if the Steelers are losing in our stadium, we don't hear – it's like a mouse piss on cotton in Pittsburgh. You can hear mouse piss on cotton. That's how quiet it is when the Steelers are losing. But if the Steelers are winning in our stadium – you'll see a bunch of them towels going up, and it just pissed me off so much. But if we win the coin toss, and if I text John Harbaugh, this is email. I know he didn't look at it, but if we win the coin toss, let's put our defense out there. You know, I'm sorry. Let's put our offense out there, and let's just run over top of them. Let's take the fight out of them. The Steelers are not supposed to be here. You know, they're a good team. They're a great organization, but they limped into the playoffs with losing like four straight. Russell Wilson is not – he's going to give us a pick. This is the time for us to end Russell Wilson's career and send him back home to those babies. I'm telling you, man, Russ is a good guy, but he's going to give us an interception or some type of turnover. That's just what he does. That's just what he do. But from an offensive standpoint, I think you guys are going to try to run the ball into the brick wall. And you're going to have to put it in.
Well, they're going to have to throw. Kai, that was a great call. We appreciate it, man. We got to run.
From enemy territory, too.
They've got to throw the ball on first down. They can't be that predictable. Don, everything leading into this game tells me it's going to be a holy war. It's going to be an absolute battle. It's going to be Steelers-Ravens. It's not going to be a blowout. 30 of 37 have been one-score games. This is going to be no different. This is the most important one since, I don't know, you were sitting in the stands as a little Donnie football, just a Donnie foot.
Yeah, I realized when I was in here this morning, you know, kind of getting ready, that this is the first time that in the playoffs they've met in Baltimore, and I have attended the three other ones as a fan, all of them being in Pittsburgh. Now, two of those, the Steelers ended up with some pretty notable wins in the Mike Tomlin era. That third one about 10 years ago now, Joe Flacco's crew came in here and won by two scores, if you remember that game. So, man, I really did like that call, though.
That was
a great call. Guy who's a Ravens fan listening to us.
Great call.
How about that?
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing HVAC service for over 50 years. Ray Fittipaldo will be on it next. You can read his stuff at postgazette.com. I want to ask Ray about the injury situation on the offensive line with Mason McCormick. His prediction. Boy, he had some things to say to you guys yesterday, some headline type stuff. Let's talk to Ray next. Welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show. Pomp not in today, but Donnie Football is. That's why we call it Donnie Football Friday. Every Friday, Donnie joins me. Today we're at Bowser Chevy Studio B in Monroeville, and you know what that music means. It means Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette is here. He's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Ray, you've been making some headlines this week, one of which was something to the effect of players maybe not believing so much in the game plans or their coaches. Tell us more about this, what you've gleaned over there.
Yeah, I first wrote about this after the Kansas City game. You know, the skill position players want the ball in their hands more. They feel like they can make a difference. You know, I think we all know what the points per game is here during this losing streak. It's I think it's around 14 or 16 points a game, and they feel like the answers are in that locker room. But for whatever reason, you know, Mike Tomlin being conservative, or whether it's you know, Arthur Smith and his game plans and his play calling, that hasn't transpired. But there are people in that locker room who do want to touch the ball more, and they feel like they could be a part of the solution.
Who?
What's that?
Who?
I can't tell you that, Joe.
I think we could probably guess.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead,
probably
Donnie.
A few names, too. Ray, with that being said, is there any chance that we actually see the offense come out throwing the football tomorrow night, or is it really true that Mike Tomlin is afraid to put that football through the air?
Well, I mean, listen, I mean, he said it, so I take him at his word. Here's the issue that you have to look at with this game. These games against the Ravens traditionally are low-scoring affairs. You know, that one in Baltimore a couple of weeks ago, withstanding, the vast majority in the last, you know, 5-6 years, they've all been of the same variety, you know, 20-19, 17-14, those types of football games. So the Steelers have won with that conservative approach before, but to me, if you go back to the last time they were really good on offense, they in Cincinnati, they went out, they broke tendencies, and they threw the football early in that game. And, you know, the running game got going later, but it was almost because the passing game was good, and they were able to work off that. So, listen, Arthur Smith's not going to leave anything in the bag. He told us that the other day. I got a feeling they're going to mix it up a little bit. You know, what they're doing right now, Joe, is not working, but you also have to realize who the opponent is and, you know, how the Steelers think they could beat the Ravens. So I don't think they're going to go crazy and have Russell Wilson throw it 45 times either.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette on the line. Ray, you've got the Ravens, believe, winning this game 38-17, if I heard you correctly on the PM show yesterday. Here's what I would ask you. They put up 27 offensively the last game in Baltimore on the Steelers, who were without three-quarters of the secondary, Ogunjobi, and I think had a very compromised T.J. Watt. They're healthy this time. What has you thinking the Ravens are going to pump that total by 11 and get to almost 40?
Yeah, I just think, you know, the offense probably isn't going to play complementary football. I think the Ravens are going to have the ball a lot. And I just think maybe Lamar Jackson has figured it out, not only against the Steelers. Joe, if you go back to that regular season finale against the Browns, you know, Zay Flowers goes out in that game, and they still score 35 points on the Browns. So he's still got Mark Andrews. He's got Isaiah Likely. You know, Rashad Bateman has been a disappointment, but this is probably his best season of his career. So they still have weapons. I just think it's going to be hard for the Steelers defense to stop these guys over the course of a 60-minute game.
Ray, is there an unsung hero you could see emerging from the Steelers offense that has a big game that maybe we don't see coming?
That we don't see coming. How about Jaylen Warren? You know, I think this is his type of a game. You know, get him the ball in space, throw to him on those little dump passes. I think the way the Ravens are playing defense now with, you know, with Dean Pease being a big part of their game planning, you know, Kyle Hamilton is the deep guy. He's kind of like Minka Fitzpatrick. They're not going to give up those big plays that they were giving up early in the season. So I think the Steelers are going to have to go to that short and intermediate, you know, type of a game. And I think a guy like Jaylen Warren could be effective. And I really like what I saw from Pat Freiermuth against the Bengals too. Probably one of his best games of the season. I think he could be involved heavily as well.
I think T.J. Watt's going to have a monster game, Ray. He had 6 pressures against the Bengals and a strip sack that was disallowed because of a penalty down the field. Do you agree that he's going to have a game-wrecking type game? Or were you around yesterday when he went a little deeper on his feelings going into this game?
Yeah, I mean, TJ, Cam, all those guys are motivated. Those guys don't have many playoff wins under their belt, and I think they all, you know, they all want to join their predecessors. Those guys are future Hall of Famers, and they want to, you know, join the ranks of the guys who have had success, you know, in the postseason. You know, the one thing that favors TJ in this matchup is, you know, unlike guys like Mahomes and some of the other quarterbacks that they've played recently, Lamar tends to hang on to the ball a little bit. You know, it's not getting out in a timely fashion, like 2.5, 3 seconds, like some of these other quarterbacks are doing. So I could see a situation where TJ does get home. We saw Alex Highsmith do it in the last game. He had a strip sack early. The Steelers didn't get on it. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think TJ is going to have opportunities. To me, one of the keys of this football game is, do you get on the loose balls? They didn't do that in Baltimore the last time. A couple of balls were on the ground, one on special teams as well. They didn't fall on them. If they could fall on them, they might have a chance in this game.
Ray, Russell Wilson has won 9 playoff games. He's actually 2nd of all quarterbacks in this postseason behind Patrick Mahomes. That being kind of irrelevant here, what is the reality that Russell Wilson could be playing for his NFL life tomorrow night? Because if things go south in this game, I think there's a truism here that he could be done, or at least could be done in the capacity that he wants to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting dynamic. I think the last month probably has changed some things, and maybe even way the way the Steelers view him. Not so much in bringing him back, but maybe the price at which they are willing to bring him back. So I can also see it the other way, Donnie. You know, if he goes out and plays really well, let's say he plays really well in a loss, I think we're probably back to saying that, you know, Russell's going to be that bridge quarterback, and, you know, they'll probably draft another guy in a year or two. I can totally see that being, you know, a scenario as well. So we all know Russell hasn't played his best here during this 4-game losing streak, but it wasn't all that long ago. You know, in Cincinnati, he threw for 414. Thought he actually played really well down in Baltimore, except for those 2 turnovers. So it's not like he's incapable of doing it. I think he is. He just has to go out and do it on Saturday night.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Donnie, may I engage Ray in a game of free association?
Yes, you may.
You ready, Ray? We're going to go quick today.
I'm ready.
Spencer Anderson, there will be no fall off from Mason McCormick if he has to play.
True.
Mount Washington's going to catch a touchdown pass in this game.
False.
Give me a Najee Warren breakdown of touches, you know, 50-50, 60-40, one way or the other.
Yeah, I'll go 50-50.
Pickens, we're going to get the good version of George, engaged, ready to go and productive, or the disintegrating George?
Good version.
Very interesting. Okay. Arthur Smith will be coaching where next season?
Pittsburgh.
Terrell Austin will be coaching where next season?
Pittsburgh.
Percent chance Najee is back?
10%.
10, you said?
10%, yes.
Justin Fields' percent chance?
I will go 7%.
Russell Wilson percent chance?
65.
Thank you, Ray. I have no further questions except for this. What's the travel breakdown on the trip to Baltimore? Who are you driving with? What's the dynamic in the car going to be like? Those types of things.
Well, we are on our way. We are about to hit the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Jerry is driving, and we got Jason Mackey and Brian Bacco in the back of the SUV here.
What wow. a crew there.
What a crew.
Ray, I actually have another one for you, so sorry to derail the fun travel.
Who's doing
question.
The most talking in there, Ray, of you guys? Not you, I assume. Well,
me right now, because I'm doing the radio interview.
Is Jerry a good driver? Do you feel safe?
Jerry's an excellent driver. He always runs the cars. He always drives. Yes.
Ray, percent chance that we see Justin Fields in this game, and for how many snaps if we do see him?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like 80% on him, and I think, you know, they're not going to go overboard, but I'll say between 3 and 5 snaps.
Percent chance we see a special teams trick play from the Steelers. You like that, Donnie?
I do.
Your face lit up on that one.
Special teams trick play. I'll say no.
How about a blocked kick for either team?
That would be nice for the Steelers, but I'll say no.
How about a big return on special teams from either team?
Well, unfortunately, those have been going against the Steelers, so I'll say yes, the Ravens will have one.
Okay, over under 30 carries for Cordarrelle Patterson. I know he's Artie's favorite.
let's go over there.
How about this? How about this honestly here? Because that pitch play to him was one of the most ridiculous plays of the Steelers' modern era. Over under 0.5 touches on offense for Cordarrelle.
Oh, it's a staple. Over. At least one.
God help us.
Ray, how many snaps into the game for the Steelers' offense before we do see that toss play? I'm going to say 5
that's
or fewer.
That's a great call.
Hey, before you sleep on Cordarrelle, he caught a touchdown against the Ravens the last time.
That's right.
Yeah, he did.
Before we see the toss play, I don't know. Arthur said he's going to ditch some stuff this game.
Hopefully his whole offense. That would be nice.
I'll say 10.
Percent chance. Now, Skoranek was off to a great start against them. He's gone, right? What's up with him?
No, Scotty Miller's gone.
Miller's gone. Skoranek is still there. Over under 1.5 catches.
For Ben, I'll say under, but I do think he'll get a catch.
Donnie, anything left?
I'm good.
Ray, you guys drive safely. Tell the boys I said hello.
All right. Enjoy the game tomorrow night, guys. See you.
Thanks, Ray.
What a wonderful man he is, huh, Donnie?
How about that car ride? Cabali getting left out in the cold.
I think they're probably all talking behind my back right now and not favorably. Maybe Ray is sticking up for me a little, but definitely Mackey.
What about Batco?
And Dulac are talking behind my back. And Batco is probably joining in right now. They're saying something bad about me. I feel it. I can feel it.
They're making fun of your lunch.
They might be. I'm about to heat that thing up.
It's going to look hilarious.
Ocasio y Pepe, which, as we said earlier, on the cover, this looks like it's going to be the finest Italian meal I've ever had. And yet, I just pulled the meal out of the box. And it looks like something you'd get at a gas station. Does it not, Donnie? Just the difference between the cover and the reality of this thing is striking.
They really didn't short you on the cheese, though. That's for sure.
No, and it's
a nice bed of cheese.
Who knows? I'm open-minded with this thing. Coming up, the numbers game. I have prepared maybe for an hour on this. This is my greatest numbers game ever. I gave you a little taste of it earlier with the Russell Wilson number. Let me give you another one, Don. You want to give a little preview of your numbers game? You want to throw one out there? Or are you saving them all? Because I got another one.
Go ahead.
65.9. This is a big one. You know what it is?
Wrong. Is that some sort of rushing number?
No. It's the penalty yards per game for the Ravens, second highest in the NFL. 65.9 yards per game. I think they had 12 penalties in the first game against the Steelers. And the Steelers are ninth lowest in the league at 48.4. We're going to trade numbers next. We're also, before we do that next, going to touch on the football game from last night. Some people have issues with James Franklin. I'm not one of them today. Let's talk about that next. First, let's talk about FanDuel. We have a big football weekend. In fact, we're in the midst of five straight days of football, playoff football in college and the pros. FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge, is celebrating with the great playoff payoff. That's a no-sweat same-game parlay for every day for all 5 days with a no-sweat SGP. You can combine your bets for the same from the same game for a chance at an even bigger winning. And if it doesn't hit, you'll get bonus bets. Pomp and Joe, pomp out today. It's a Donnie Football Friday. We are at Studio B in Monroeville. Having a grand old time, Donnie, is what we're doing. You have the highlighter out, which actually frightens me. I haven't used one of those since college, for God's sake.
Really?
Yeah, what is it? Is it a pink highlighter?
Yeah,
purple?
I like using a little highlighter.
Yeah, what do you got? Is that the numbers game you're highlighting over there?
It does help me with the numbers game. I use a highlighter a good bit, I feel.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like when I do games like play-by-play or color, I'll get the highlighter out for certain things. You want to make like things you want to make sure that you make note of.
Yeah.
You get into.
You want to highlight.
Yeah.
In other words.
Yes. You like that one, horse?
They don't call it the old highlighter for nothing, Don. Sure, I love it. I love this.
I'm sure Sean knows where I'm coming from. I bet he gets.
We all do. I had the yellow highlighter in college when I first started taking studying seriously. I couldn't get into any college, Donnie. Couldn't get into any of them.
And then you went to like four or five.
Was still drunk the next morning for the SATs. And I figured that I would just try to guess the pattern that whoever invented the test was doing. You know what I mean?
I hated the SAT.
Yeah, I got like an 860. I couldn't get in anywhere, Donnie. That's not a joke. And finally, my dad's buddy worked at Cortland State up near Ithaca, New York, and got me in there. And then I realized, oh, if I read the book, I can do well on the test. Why didn't anybody tell me in high school? And then I realized, you know, that I could do well in school if I actually studied. And that's where the highlighter came in. I'd never known of a highlighter before.
Have you heard of one of the, I forget who it was. Somebody called in, though, once. We were talking about fantasy football punishments.
Yeah.
Like you finish in last place. The punishment in their league is that they made the guy take the SAT.
That's a great.
Because I guess you can just do that at like any age.
Yeah.
Like as if like, hey,
that is tremendous.
That would be brutal. And like he actually had to give the old college try and honest effort.
It's a horrifying punishment. Anyway, we're going to get to the numbers game and I think it's going to be the greatest one yet. But first, the football game last night, Penn State, Notre Dame, that was a great game. And I'm going to ask you like, what's the story coming out of this? Is it that State's going to need a different quarterback if they're ever going to get where they want to go? Is it somehow blame on James Franklin? For me, it's I watched a great football game. For three quarters, it was one style, old school, physical, 1970s football, and I loved it. I loved it. And then in the fourth quarter, it exploded, and it was a great game. And there was an obvious goat to the game, and unfortunately, that was Drew Aller. He threw a horrible pass. And other than that, I've got no issues with Franklin, with anything that happens. Sometimes there's just a great game that neither coach really or the losing coach doesn't deserve to be shredded for. I know a lot of people today saying they should have knelt on the ball, they should have ran the ball, they should have just played for overtime. Listen, they were deep in their own territory at first, and Notre Dame had three timeouts.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get the first down, do you do that? Maybe. Maybe you do a running play and see what Notre Dame wants to do. see what Marcus Freeman wants to do. If he wants to stop the clock, then, you know, eventually you might have to make one more play instead of punting and giving them time, because, again, they had three timeouts. But the real story for me, like if I had to pick one storyline, Donnie, is I felt like I just watched an all-time classic.
Yeah, that was a really fun game. It's funny because a lot of people in this area probably watched that game downright hating both teams, because we know that if you're a fan of Pitt football, you don't like Penn State, you certainly don't like Notre Dame. We had conflictions on, hey, who is going to root for who in this game? I know the morning show made a big stink out of Doran rooting for Penn State in the game. I thought Penn State was going to win the game. You, myself, City Limits, we made our picks. I went with Limits Lions, as did he. You went with the Golden Domers. You end up picking up a game on us there. That really was a great football game, though. So even though Penn State ends up in the losing side of it, it was a good football game. If you're a fan of football in general, you don't care really who wins. That was a great one. And I agree. It's easy for a lot of people in those circumstances to jump on James Franklin because of what his record is in those big games, where anytime he is an underdog, he cannot get the job done. He has one win in his career when he faces a top five team and he's an underdog. And I think now 15 losses. I don't put that one on him last night, though. And I think they made the right decision to be aggressive when they had the football, what they thought would be last. And unfortunately, Drew Aller puts it into a dangerous position. It gets picked off and Notre Dame wins the game. But that's an instance where I'm not throwing this on James Franklin and saying that he blew the game.
Well, that's the other thing, is I'm still reading and seeing Franklin can't win the big game. He just won two of them. He won two playoff games. He had to beat SMU, or I would have been first in line, shredding him. And then he beat Boise State. And yeah, they got a favorable draw. But winning two playoff games and going to the national semifinals and losing one of the greatest football games I've seen in recent memory, I'm just not inclined to rip the guy today. They had a very good season. That's how I feel. I know Sean is a Penn State guy. How do you feel about all this, Sean?
So first off, I think Franklin had his best season this year guiding Penn State. It wasn't perfect, but I thought he had some defining moments. You know, really, you look at the three playoff games, it's hard to nitpick anything that he did wrong. I know he had a very bold decision to go for it against SMU that kind of backfired, but his players subsequently bailed him out. I thought he was really good. And, you know, the decision to try to win the game with a field goal was absolutely the right decision. I mean, it's almost cowardly if you decided to try to run the clock out at the end, because they had plenty of time and were at a part of the field where you basically just need probably two decent completions to get into field goal range. If you don't have any faith in your quarterback to do that, then it's a much bigger problem. Aller, the interception was really, really bad, but I thought he was bad the entire game. If he played an average Drew Aller game, it probably doesn't come down to needing a last drive to win it. I thought that he made enough mistakes throughout, and he looked like he was both inaccurate and just kind of rattled. That, to me, is a concern going forward, but the hope is you see some of these other teams in recent years that have had success. Ohio State and Notre Dame this year both had quarterbacks that were very experienced that they got out of the portal. You think of Michael Penix last year with Washington. The hope is that Aller will get better as he continues to become more experienced. So him coming back next year, there is some reason to hope that he would make strides, but he needs to, because right now what we saw from him in a couple of big games, Ohio State included, is he's not good enough necessarily in those big games for them to win a championship.
Yeah.
Other than that, I thought they played well enough. I thought their defense gave up a couple of big ones, but overall created so many positive plays in their favor. Takeaways, big sacks, Abdul Carter and denied Dennis Sutton were terrific. Zaki Wheatley had 16 tackles, a sack, and interception. The running game and the offensive line was good enough. The only issue last night was that their quarterback was not good enough, and unfortunately that's usually the most defining position in a football game.
I think James Franklin did a really good job this year. I thought they got about as far as they were going to go, and they were one step away from going one step further. You know, but their quarterback, you're right, wasn't good enough. I thought he got bailed out before that on a horrendous throw to the end zone, where the guy with his back to to the quarterback. Yes, he put his hands up. He had zero material impact on that play. You want to call it by, you know, by the letter of the law, I guess, okay. But that doesn't take away the fact that it was a terrible throw that no matter what was going to get got bailed out there. That's one. On the other hand, Abdul Carter got held more than T.J. Watt in that game. Oh, my God. And did they ever call one?
No, and I can tell you that has been a recurring theme all season. You mentioned T.J. Watt. I think that's an apt comparison because Carter has been held so frequently, and it seems like it almost never gets called. That said, it did seem like early the officials established that they were going to let the teams play, which made that kind of ticky-tack pass interference probably more infuriating for Notre Dame fans.
Yeah, and the hands-to-the-face call. It's like, all right, Carter is getting just like assaulted on every play, but now you're going to call a hands to the face in the middle of the line. Again, technically, letter of the law, yes, but what about all the stuff you're not calling? So, you know, the little things bothered me. But overall, Donnie, you know, I give James Franklin high marks for this season. I do.
Yeah, if you're a Penn State fan, and I'm not, but I was getting into that game last night. I was on until 10:30, so I'm watching it with no volume, but I'm watching it really as the show is going on, and I'm having the conversation with our pal Jolie that, listen, I think Penn State fans have to be happy with how this season has gone. You got to the national semifinal, and before this playoff got expanded, it was only four teams. You got yourself to the Final Four.
Yeah.
And, yeah, maybe you got a better draw than most teams did, but you have to be pretty happy that, hey, We got down to a field goal away from a national championship appearance.
It was sometimes it's just a great game. And even though that was a terrible decision by Aller, it was a great play by that kid.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
He had a pick earlier that got taken away.
Right.
He was the kid that picked it off in the end zone.
A diving interception in that circumstance, that's how I look at this. Sometimes there's not much more to it than, wow, that was just a great football game. That maybe neither team deserved to lose. You know, that's not exactly the hottest of takes, and it's usually not my take after any game, but that one I just sat back and said, wow.
An interesting aspect, by the way, Joe, is that we mentioned the expanded playoffs. Penn State obviously never made it when it was a four-team. They would have this year. They were in the top four after the championship games, so they would have made the old format of the playoffs this year. So I think no doubt it is a successful season, despite the fact that it is a very frustrating finish to it.
Yeah, it is. Well, how about a little music for the numbers game as we dive back into Steelers Ravens? Donnie and I put hours, days into this. I'm ready to have our best numbers game yet, Donnie, and I'd like to bat lead off if you don't mind. May
I? Go ahead, Joe.
2-4. Those are the wins and losses for Lamar in playoff games. He's 2-4, and in games against the Steelers. And I'll make a little four-pack out of that with the number 68-20. That's Jackson's record against the rest of the NFL. 68-20.
157. I mentioned the point differential for the Ravens against playoff teams. Plus 157 is the point differential for the Ravens this year. They're tied with the Bills for the best in the AFC, third best in the entire league.
30. That's 30 of the 37 games between Harbaugh and Tomlin have been decided by one score, and that's also accompanied by another number, 20. 20.
.9. The Ravens, on first down, they average a league high, 6.9 yards per play. It's a lot of coach speak when they mention we got to win first down in games. You hear that really in all levels. You hear it a lot in high school. You'll hear it all the way through. The Ravens do that an awful lot when they have the football. The Steelers merely try to not get behind the sticks. The Ravens try to attack you on first down.
Great point. I've got a number for you, Donnie. 0. In those 37 matchups between Harbaugh and Tomlin, neither team has ever gotten back-to-back wins by double digits. Even if you stretch it across seasons, it's never happened. 0 times.
10, and this is one that's a little bit concerning to me. It should be concerning to Steeler fans. A turnover for the Steelers offense in 10 consecutive games.
Wow. for a guy who hates turnovers in Mike Tomlin. I have another four-pack for you, Donnie, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
89.1%, that's Justin Tucker's career field goal percentage. That's first in the history of pro football. 88.02%, that's Boz. He's fourth all time. You have two of the greatest four kickers of all time in this game in terms of field goal percentage. Between those two, by the way, numbers two and three are Harrison Butker and who? One of you got the name for the guy who's third all time? Yeah.
Vinatieri?
No. Sean? Wrong.
Gary Anderson.
Eddie Pinero for the Carolina Panthers. Yeah. Mulsey's favorite team. But these are accompanied by other numbers, Donnie. Boz goes from 88 to 93 is his field goal percentage this year. Justin Tucker, 89.1%. He's the all-time leading kicker. He's at 73.3 this year. He's been better lately, but those numbers jump out when games between these two are often decided by field goals. I apologize for the long number.
No, that's all right. I was going to ask quickly as an aside to that, if it gets down to a field goal game, who do you trust more?
Not even a question, man. It's Boz.
Same with me. I mean, the way he's kicked this season, it would be a stunner if he missed anything, what, inside of 45 yards?
Inside of 50 yards? Inside of 55. I'd be surprised. He's unbelievable. Donnie?
3.14, even though that's the start of the number pi, or the digits for pi, that is the amount of time that Lamar Jackson has to throw this season, which is the highest in the NFL. The Steelers have to try and get after that dude, and I think number 90 can go a long way in making that happen.
Well, I would argue that a lot of that 3.14 is Lamar making chicken salad out of you-know-what. I don't think his offensive line is a great pass-blocking offensive line, I'll be honest. I just think he's one of the most phenomenal scramblers and get-out-of-trouble guys that there's ever been. Here's two numbers. 3 and 9. That's Micah's interceptions, 3, and passes defense, 9 against the Ravens. His most of any team for both those categories.
You think he gets one in this game?
Yes, I do, Donnie. Thank you for asking.
Another INT. Yes. That's why you didn't ask Ray that question.
That's exactly right. You got a number for me?
I do. 101, or I guess just over 101, but out of the time that was on the clock in the last four games, 240 possible minutes for the Steelers. They've had the football for just 101 of those.
Wow.
The time of possession number, which was so great, they were leading the league for a lot of the season, has gone so far downhill, and I think it's perfect an illustration of it in the last game. They wanted to keep that football away from Joe Burrow. They had it for 22 minutes. So how did that plan work out? Burrow had it for almost 40.
That's amazing. Let's go to the two-minute drill, Donnie. Quick passes here. 19 Pickens catches versus the Ravens, more than any team.
3,013, the snaps from rookies this season for the Steelers. And I think most of these guys have played well. Frazier, McCormick, who's questionable.
Yeah.
Beanie, Bishop, Peyton Wilson. I think all four of those guys have actually, I don't want to say have become stars. Frazier has. I think Frazier's a stud. But they've gotten good contributions from the young guys.
2 sacks for Alex Highsmith in 9 games against the Ravens. Only 2. Let's move the ball, Donnie.
15.4, the points per game allowed by the Ravens defense over the last 7 weeks, the best in football.
Wow. 3.74 Najee's yards per carry career versus the Ravens, as is the story with him. Those are some nice cumulative stats he has against the Ravens, but not impressive on that front. And Derrick Henry averages over 5 yards a carry against the Steelers.
A little bit on the Ravens defense here. 54, the number of sacks from Baltimore this season, second best in the NFL.
Thank you, Donnie. A 4-pack for TJ Watt. 17 sacks, 22 tackles for loss, 33 quarterback hits, and 4 forced fumbles in only 16 games against the Ravens.
What do you think he gets in this game?
2 sacks, 1 forced fumble, a strip sack, and maybe a touchdown, and thank you for asking.
He had that touchdown against Kansas City. You know who else I could think have one? Maybe Pat Freiermuth. 15 receptions in his last 2 games.
Wow, I didn't know that. This jumps off the page. 79. That's Mark Andrews' target in only 11 games against the Steelers. But get this, he's only caught 48 of those 79 targets. They've actually done a pretty good job on Andrews by and large throughout his career, and they will again. Give me two more, Donnie.
424.9
yes.
yards per game from Baltimore's offense, far and away the best in football.
66-0. That's the cumulative score in the first quarters of the Steelers' five straight playoff losses. The other guys have 66. They have zero. Wow.
64.6. Najee Harris, his average yards per game since the bye week. He's somebody, if you want to run the football and mean it, he's got to be someone who has a big game.
74.2. That's the Ravens in the red zone. That is a high number in history. They're number one in the NFL, needless to say. And you want to compare it? 74.2. You got to go down nearly 30 or 40 points to 48.2. That's Artie Smith in the red zone. If this game gets decided there by those numbers, then you're right. The Steelers would get blown out.
19. And I guess we can make this my last one. You could round it out, Joe. Not only is that the point total that Cincinnati got last week, that was the yardage of their longest play. So a red-hot offense that came in here, and the Steelers did not allow a play over 20 yards. If you do that tomorrow,